attending the Voice of the Martyrs Advanced Conference yesterday, and it was a blessing to hear four different speakers and the music and so forth. So I want to share a little bit of that later in the message today. It was a challenge to hear that yesterday. So our theme, roots and fruits. And as we look through the book of Joshua, we're looking at new roots and new fruits. We come to Joshua chapter 8. And when you have taken the city, set it on fire, and do what the Lord has commanded you, see to it you have my orders. Let's bow to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, we do come before you today. Our hearts, we open up to you. We ask that your Spirit would speak to our hearts today. That you would move in our midst. Lord, that you would just anoint your servant, give the words you would have to be spoken. And Father, that we would take the words with our hearts, so we would live them out in our lives. We pray for those who are not able, who are traveling today, you be with them. We pray for those who are sick, Lord, that your hand be upon them and raise them up, we ask. Lord, we ask you to receive the glory. We thank you that we are in a country where we have freedom at this time to worship you. Lord, we pray for those brothers and sisters around the world who do not have such freedom, who are facing persecution for their faith. And we pray that you would strengthen them, as you have told us that we ought to remember them in prayer. So, Lord, we do that today. Lead and direct, we ask, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. So the question we want to begin here this morning is, what is a mistake? We talked a little bit last week about that. It's interesting that Henry Ford, he defined a mistake as an opportunity to begin again more intelligently. An opportunity to begin again. I don't think oftentimes we look at mistakes as that in that light. But your last mistake is your best teacher. And so we learn from these mistakes. And so the key question here is, what do you do when you make a mistake? Paul Bear Bryant was a famous football coach. And he said this, when you make a mistake, there are only three things that you should do about it. Admit it, learn from it, and don't repeat it. And so we come to Joshua chapter 8. And chapter 7, we saw the mistakes that were made. And what can we learn from that? And how to turn defeat into victory. You know, Joshua admitted his mistake in chapter 7. He learned from it and didn't repeat it. And his mistakes led to a new beginning. As we look at chapter 8 here, a new strategy, a new victory, a new commitment. And he turned defeat into victory. As we see here in Joshua 8:8, when you have taken the city, set it on fire, and do what the Lord has commanded, see to it, you have my orders. So think of it this way, let God turn your defeat into victory. Whatever that is, that defeat may be. As we heard the different speakers yesterday, I was challenged by the fact that they were able to turn their circumstances and persecution into victory. First of all, I want you to look with me at a new beginning. And chapter 8, no matter what mistakes we make, or we may make, the worst mistake of all is not to try again. For the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Alexander White said this. And we start with the Word of God, a series of new beginnings. And first of all, I want you to see that the Word of God is a word of encouragement. God's Word is, first of all, encouragement. And Joshua 8:1, then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Don't dwell upon the defeat. Don't dwell upon the mistake, but go forward. Discouragement over the past and fear of the future are two reactions that often accompany failure. And we look back and remember the mistakes that we made, but then we need to look forward and wonder whether there's any future for people fail so foolishly. The answer to our discouragement and fear is the hearing and the believing of God's Word. Yes, that defeat may discourage us. Yes, that mistake may cause us to fear about what may lay ahead of us. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9 reminds us of this, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. God is looking for hearts that are completely committed to Him. And that's the encouragement that we can find here. And not only did He give them a word of encouragement, He also gave them a word of instruction. So, the Lord told him, Joshua, take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourself. Set an ambush behind the city. So God always has a plan for His people to follow. And the only way for us to have victory is to obey God's instructions. You remember how in the first attack of Ai, Joshua followed the advice of his spies. You only need to send part of the army. But God told him, here we see, to take the whole army. God also told Joshua to use an ambush to take advantage of the city of Ai's self-confidence. And God also gave the soldiers the right to claim the spoils, that they were to burn the city and then take those spoils. Think about that. Achan. We learned about Achan in the last chapter and lessons from Achan on Father's Day. Had Achan waited only a few days, he could have picked up the spoils. You know, God always gives His best to those who leave the choice with Him. If we wait upon Him, God wants to give us His best. So here was a word of encouragement. Here was a word of instruction. But here is also a word of promise. The word of promise here we see in chapter 8. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered them into your hands, along with his king and his fighting men. Have delivered. That's the word of promise. Have delivered. It's already, the victory is already yours. So we lay hold of the promises of God. Unless the promises of God are mixed with faith, Hebrews 4:2 tells us they accomplish nothing. So we take the promise of God, and we lay hold of it by faith. And that's how we march, go forward. Now, an application here is that no matter how badly we have failed, we can always get up and begin again. For our God is a God of new beginnings. Jennifer and Damon Alexander, they have two small children. And we sat with them at the conference, and then during the break they would take different times, take turns taking the children out in the back. And Judah, their oldest, I guess 2 years old or 3 years old, but anyway, he likes to run, like children do at that age, walking and running. And often running, he'd trip over his own feet or whatever, and he would fall. And he starts to get back up. His dad would remind him, that's right, get back up, get back up. And we need to be reminded that when we fall, or when we have a defeat, we learn, just as that child, that little child, get back up, In the Bible, the number 8 signifies resurrection, regeneration, and a new beginning. So we come here to Joshua chapter 8. This is speaking here of a new beginning. They had a great victory in Jericho. Yes, they had a defeat over the Ai, that smaller city. But God wants to show them a new beginning. All right? And think about that. Every time you have faced a defeat, every time you find yourself have fallen down, get back up. And God wants to give us a new beginning. And this also means a new strategy. The strategy God gave Joshua for taking Ai was almost the opposite of the strategy he used at Jericho. First of all, we see that the timing was different. The Jericho operation involved a week of miracles as they marched around the city. And it was carried on openly in the daylight. They marched around the city in the daylight. But this attack on Ai was a covert night operation that prepared them for the daylight assault. They set the ambush at night. It was entirely different timing. And then the approach was different. Here we see the whole army was united at Jericho. The whole army as they marched around the city. But Joshua here in chapter 8 divided the army into three groups for the attack on Ai. So the approach was different. And sometimes we want to repeat. If it worked this time, then, you know, if I do it again, if I try to repeat. Recently read about the different awakenings and revivals in the history. And it was a wonderful book to read. Encouragement to read that. But sometimes what happens is people try to just think, if I do it this the same way, I can repeat it. There's a different method. God performed a miracle, a mighty miracle at Jericho. He caused the walls to fall flat down. And there was no such miracle at Ai. Joshua and his men simply obeyed God's instructions by setting an ambush. And they lured the people of Ai out of the city. But the Lord also gave them the victory. The strategy for Ai was based on Israel's previous defeat, for God was organizing victory out of the mistakes that were made. So we learn from this a new strategy. Maybe there's a different timing. Maybe there's a different approach. There's a different method. But God is the one who gives the victory. And then we see the plan. At night, Joshua and his army marched the 15 miles from Gilgal to Ai. And using 30,000 soldiers, Joshua set up an ambush behind the city to the west. He put another 5,000 men between Ai and Bethel, that city which was about 2 miles away. This would make sure that the army from Bethel wouldn't make a surprise attack from the northwest. In leading the rest of the army, Joshua made a frontal attack on Ai from the north. He came down. Now, his men would flee as they had done the first time. And by fleeing, they drew out the self-confident people of Ai away from the protection of their city. They thought, oh, they're running from us like they did before. And at Joshua's signal, the soldiers lying in the ambush would enter the city and set it on fire. The people of Ai would be caught then between the two armies. And the third army would deal with any assistance that might come from Bethel. So we see how this ambush was set in place. As we consider this, the plan here, the word strategy, and we get in English, that word strategy, comes from two Greek words that come together that means to lead an army. To lead an army, there has to be a strategy. There has to be a plan. And so we see that a very important application here is that leadership demands planning. And planning is an important part of strategy. We seek God's will in planning. We ask for God to show us what He would have us to do. And then when He does that, we obey His direction. So there was a new beginning. There was a new strategy for taking this city. And this led, of course, then to number three, a new victory. Ai was emptied. The soldiers came out of the city chasing the army of Joshua, thinking that this would be a repeat of the previous time. Confident of victory, the king of Ai led his men out of the city against the Jews, and Joshua and his men began to flee. And this gave the men of Ai very much assurance of victory, even more assurance of victory. So, as that city was emptied, then we see that Ai was captured. God told Joshua to lift up that spear, or in some translations, javelin, but toward the city. This is a signal for the other troops to enter the city, to burn it. The signal had to be given just the right time. Not just when he thought it was, but when God told him, give the signal. Joshua held up his spear until the victory was won. And this action reminds us of the battle. Remember, Joshua fought against the Amalekites, and Moses was up on the mountain holding up his hands. And as he held up the hands, they won the victory of the battle. When his hands began to fall, Aaron and Ur came alongside and helped to hold up those hands. And so this is a good reminder of that our prayers, the importance of praying, the importance of lifting up our hands to God and calling upon Him to give the victory. I was one of the things that was remarked about the conference yesterday is the idea of praying. Each speaker, as they finished speaking, the next speaker would come up and pray over that person, pray over the work that person had. The founder of the Voice of the Martyrs was Richard Rembrandt. He was a pastor in Romania. And when the communists took over Romania, he was put in prison. And the story of his life, tortured for Christ. They just recently made this into a movie. And I hope we can view this movie sometime in the future. We had a chance to see that. One thing that was remarkable to me, watching the beatings, the torture that he went through. And at night, the guard would come to his cell and peek in the cell, see what he was doing. And that was the time when he would pray. I mean, that was his time to pray at night. And as the guard would peek into the cell, if he was praying, he would open the door and drag him out and beat him some more. And after doing this, after several nights of this, the guard then asked him, what are you praying for? Your God's not helping you. What are you praying for? And Richard said to the guard, I was amazed by this, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And you know, God can used also the testimony of these who suffered in the lives of these guards and other soldiers. Ai was then captured. And Ai's army and people were destroyed. Seeing the smoke of the city, Joshua's people, or his men, stopped fleeing. They turned and they attacked the army of Ai that was pursuing them. And Israel cut them down, leaving them neither survivors nor refugees. This was, of course, the judgment of God as we saw it at Jericho. God's judgment. And then we see how Ai's king was slain. It was a total victory on the part of Israel. Joshua was told to kill the king with a sword and then ordered that the corpse be humiliated by hanging on a tree until sundown. And the body was then buried in, under a heap of stones at the entrance of the gate of the ruin that had once been Ai. And then we also see at Ai, the spoils were claimed. The first fruits of the spoils of war in Canaan had already been given to God at Jericho. He told them that they were not to take of the devoted thing. But the men that had to fight and earn the reward here at Ai. And so we see here that the previous heap of stones was a memorial to Achan, who had caused him to be defeated at Ai. And here we see this heap of stones at Ai was a memorial of Israel's victory over the enemy. We need to remember the defeat, but also remember the victory. And so the application here is the disgrace and defeat had not been erased, but that Israel was now victorious. Yes, there is the memory of the defeat, but there's also the victory that God gives. And then we see a new commitment. Joshua led the people 30 miles north to Shechem. If you look at this picture here of Shechem between these two mountains, it lies in a valley between Mount Ebal, where the curses were pronounced, and Mount Gerizim, where the blessings were pronounced. Back in Moses' time, he had done this. And here the nation obeyed Moses, what Moses had told them, had commanded them to do. When you come to this place, you're to read these curses and blessings as a reminder to the people. And so Joshua built an altar here. It's interesting that the altar was built on Mount Ebal, the Mount of Cursing, because only a sacrifice of blood can save sinners from the curse of the law. And so they built an altar, offered a sacrifice on this Mount of Curses, and then read these. And then God also told Joshua that he wrote the law on stones. The secret of Israel's victory was not their leader, it was not their army, it was their obedience to God's law. And we need to be reminded of that. It's our obedience to God. Now it's interesting as we look at this and think about this here. There are four public monuments of stones we've seen so far in the land of Canaan that have been erected here in the land of Canaan. Remember the first was at Gilgal. And that commemorated the Israel's crossing the Jordan River. They crossed the Jordan River, they took the stones from the river, and they made a monument as a reminder. I don't know if you keep a journal or not. Sometimes it's a good idea to keep a journal just to be reminded of things that God has done in our lives. This is kind of like these are monuments along the way to remind the people, and also in years ahead that they could look at these monuments and remind their children of the victories that God had given. The second one was at the Valley of Achor. And this was a reminder of Achan's sin and God's judgment. And, you know, crossing the Jordan River, that a reminder of that great event, that miracle, crossing the Jordan River, the water stopped. But then a reminder also of sin and judgment here, Achan, of what was done there. And then the third monument, at the entrance of Ai, here is to remind him of God's faithfulness to help his people. Yes, they had been defeated. Now God had given the victory. And now we come to the fourth memorial on Mount Ebal. It reminded Israel that their successes lay only in their obedience to God's word. Obedience to God. Here is the valley between these two mountains. You can enjoy blessings or you will enjoy the curses. And the idea here is that the obedience is the key. So Joshua, read the law as Moses had written. You know, he Moses instructed them, when they come to this place, you're to read these words to the people when they come into the land of Canaan. So Joshua and the Levites, they read the blessings of the Lord one by one. And the tribes there in the valley at Mount Gerizim responded with a loud, united amen. Amen means so be it. As God has said, so be it. Amen. I think that amen is said almost the same in every language. So be it, according to God's will. So be it. I always enjoy little children, hearing little children praying, or even at dinner table, the words that they would say, and then, or the other person praying at the table, and then a little child would end, amen. And so be it. And then they were to read the curses. The tribes at Mount Ebal there were to respond with their amen after each curse was read. If we obey God, amen. So be it. May God pour out His blessings upon us. But if we do not obey God, amen. So be it. Let God bring His judgment. So, if we want to share in the conquest, in Israel's conquest, if they wanted to share, they had to submit to the law of Israel's God. Victory comes from submitting to God. As we submit to God, God gives the victory. We surrender our lives, we surrender our hearts to Him. God is the one who gives the victory. And so we're reminded of this. Now, as you think about this chapter here of new beginnings, new strategy, new victory, new commitment to God, to be reminded of His blessings and His curses, I want you to think about this. God's people today, we stand in a valley between two mountains, like that Mount Ebal, that Mount Gerizim. But these two mountains are Mount Calvary, where Jesus died for our sins. He took upon Himself the curse. He became a curse. He died on the cross and became a curse for our sin. And as He died on that cross, and then we think of that other mount, Mount Olivet, where He will return in power and great glory, His second coming. So we see these two mountains referring to the first and second coming of Christ. In Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4, so the picture of this will help us to see the Old Testament prophets as they would look at the future. They saw the Messiah's suffering, that first coming. They saw the cross, and they saw the glory, the second coming. They saw the curse, they saw the blessing, just like that Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. They saw these two mountains, but they did not see the valley between. And that valley is at the present age of the church. God at that time did not reveal to them this valley, the period now, the church, the valley, the church, the present age of the church. Christ's believers are blessed with every spiritual blessing. We put our faith and trust in Christ, we receive every spiritual blessing. By faith, we can claim our inheritance in Christ. By faith, we can march forward in victory. And by faith, we will receive, in obedience, the blessings of God. We're also reminded of this, these words here. But what appeared to be a defeat was actually the greatest victory of all. What appeared to be a defeat on Mount Calvary, what appeared to be a defeat that as the Satan had bruised the heel of the woman's seed, what appeared to be a defeat as Christ hung upon the cross and died, what appeared to be a defeat was turned into a victory. Jesus Christ, as we see here, He rose again. And as He rose again, He gives us victory. We claim that victory that we have in Him. What appears to be a defeat is actually the greatest victory of all. And because on that cross, the head of the serpent was crushed. His heel was bruised, but the head of the serpent was crushed. Satan was defeated on that cross. So that cross looks like a defeat, but it was actually, with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's a great and wonderful victory. And we look at our lives. We may think of events that come that we look back upon that seemed like a defeat. That seemed like a time that we were defeated. We were brought low. And actually that can be turned into our greatest victory. That defeat can be made into something that is wonderful by God's grace. Gracia Burnham, which maybe some of you heard her name before, she's from this area here of Kansas City. Her and her husband, if you don't know the story, her and her husband were missionaries in the Philippines. Several years ago, they were celebrating their anniversary and staying on this resort area. And these terrorists came in and captured them, both her and her husband. Dragged them off, and for over a year, fleeing from the soldiers who were trying after them. And she told her story again yesterday. They would often walk at night, and they had very little to eat. And how they endured the suffering. I thought it was interesting that she made this remark. She thought her husband was the strong one, and she was the weak one. And yet, at the end, the army finally overtook them. And they were caught in the crossfire of the guns and the shooting that took place. And one of the bullets hit her leg, and another bullet had hit the chest of her husband and killed him. And so she survived. And if you've not read her story, I would recommend you reading her story. And the thing here, that which appeared to be defeat, that which appeared to be a terrible consequence there, God has turned to great victory. She goes around and has written this book and is going around and shares her story. Her son was there yesterday. And just to see how God can turn our defeats into great victories. One of the, probably most, many of you have heard of Johnny Erickson, Tada. And Johnny Erickson, she was a very active teenager, 16. She was active in sports and swimming and so forth. And she dove in and didn't realize that there was rocks there and hit her head and it paralyzed her. And going through that great defeat of being paralyzed, and her life story is really a story of victory, how God has turned that defeat into victory. You've heard her testimony, you've heard her speak. She's written books, and even with her mouth, a paintbrush has painted pictures. And God can turn our defeats into victories. Here in Joshua, reminded that Ai was a great defeat, but they returned here, and God gave them a new victory. Let's bow in prayer as we close. Lord, You know our needs today. You know each of our lives. You know what defeats we've had in the past or what defeats we may face in the future. Lord, You're able to give us a new beginning. you're able to turn those defeats into victory. And our worst defeat can even be our greatest victory. Lord, it's hard for us to understand. We look at the defeat at the time and we grieve and we wonder, how can this be? Lord, we look ahead and see, as you give us the opportunity to see, that you can turn that into our greatest victory. So, Lord, I pray for each one here today. I pray that you would help us to walk by faith. As we are reminded of those who were martyrs, who gave of their all as a witness for you, and how you turned that into greater victories, using their lives to speak to more people, using their lives to be a greater testimony. And Lord, we don't understand how this is. We pray that you help us to walk by faith. We pray that you would help us to trust you and to be obedient. And then, Lord, to see how you turn our defeats into victories. We pray in Jesus' name.